The recording has started.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. We want to welcome everybody to our podcast this evening. We have a variety of ways that you can listen in. We are currently on Blog Talk Radio. We are also on Facebook Live. And also this format, free conference call. And it's been posted all over the Facebook. But again, we want to welcome everybody to the podcast this evening. Tonight, we're going to have open discussions about a variety of subjects, such as local elections here in the Baltimore area, the importance of voting, and the new setup that they have. We also want to talk about the opening of states and cities around the country, in spite of the people still dying and people are still being hospitalized and people not even taking a 2-week span that, you know, they say for things to start going down before they start having that luxury of socializing again. But, you know, life is a series of choices, and people sometimes make wise choices and sometimes they don't. But each person has to, you know, it's unfortunate, but these type of choices that one has to make, especially dealing with this pandemic, is that it can and it will affect a lot of other innocent people because you take things casually. You can bring this back to so many people, and that person can lead to other people, and that's why they call it such as that a pandemic. But in any case, in starting our podcast, we want to welcome everybody who's on the line. I guess we have several people with us. We have Ms. Fran Allen, Mr. Walter Murphy, Dempsey Murphy. We have Mr. Bill Gooden, I see, is on board with us. And our co-host, Mr. Andre Hector, as well as Brother Satawi Jahi. And as always, we'd like to open up with a reading from Brother Satawi Jahi. Brother Jahi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David. And we're simulcasting this broadcast also through our podcast, to my Blog Talk Radio platform, which is blogtalkradio.com/homebasedbusiness101. Today's reading, Daily Motivations for African American Success, by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, April 27th. You better eat your Wheaties. Quote, there are no shade trees on the road to success, unquote. Leontine Kelly, first African-American female bishop of the Methodist Episcopal Church. Reading for the day. In all of life and endeavors, your own efforts will help you the most. Loose wires give out no musical notes. But when the ends are fastened, the piano, the harp, or the violin is born. Free steam drives no engine, but harnessed and combined with the piston and the turbine, it makes useful machinery. The background noise is somebody can mute themselves out or whatever. An unhampered river drives no dynamos, but dammed up and give, you can get generated sufficient power to light a city. So our lives must be disciplined if we are to be of any real service in the world. There are many well-intentioned people who will tell you not to worry about the future. All you have to do is place your faith in God. So you should. But with the complete understanding that the Creator God helps those who help themselves. Determination and discipline are the opposite of chance. When we practice determination and discipline, we take our destiny into our own hands. A determined person refuses to surrender to random winds of circumstance. If we rest our fate in the hands of fortune, we shall sometimes succeed and sometimes fail, but we will always be weak. In taking charge of our fate, we will succeed most of the time and fail some of the time, but we will always be strong. We will have no regrets about our life, for we know that we gave it our all we had to give. So be determined, be disciplined, be strong. Seize opportunities. Remember that you will never be faced with a challenge you cannot overcome. Today I will gather the strength to become more determined and disciplined in order to reach my goals. And that is our reading for today. And, you know, one of the main goals we should all be focusing on right now in terms of primary objective is making sure that we're able to survive this coronavirus pandemic, so that we can be able to tell our story on the other side. There's a lot going on in this country. There's some states that people feel are opening up too soon. Talking to my sister down in Georgia earlier today, and, you know, they reopened the state of Georgia. You know, and people, as she said, you know, people down there, they weren't wearing masks to begin with. You know, they didn't have no gloves and stuff on, and they weren't doing no social distancing, so I don't know what these governors know, don't know, but if they just opening up on a whim, then, as Bill said earlier, this thing can come back and hit people again. And when it comes back to hit people, what we should be doing during this time period is stockpiling on those things that we're going to need so that when it comes back, that we'll be able to be just ourselves above the curve. Like I said, right now over here at our house, we got at least about a month's supply of food. We got some alcohol, a little bit of Lysol left. But basically what we're doing right now is we're doing preparing for the second wave of the coronavirus, because if they open up too soon, it is going to come back and people can bite them in the butt. So those are my opening comments for tonight's show.
All right. Thank you, sir. You know, you said a mouthful, especially in your reading. And Brother Hector, you have some concerns about this reopening. What say you, sir? Brother Hector, can you hear us? Mr. Hector. Okay. You have to unmute yourself, sir. Okay, while he's getting himself adjusted, Brother Bill, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm glad Satari talked about that, because, I mean, I'm totally against the opening up the states, but half of this, man, is Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, unfortunately, if we had a leader, then, you know, we would have had a federal plan for all the states to follow, and everybody would have been in the same. But, you know, Donald Trump's had one thing, leaving the governors to kind of fend for their own, and a lot of them, unfortunately, a lot of them fools is trying to support his leadership. You know, but, I mean, you know, I think that basically, man, unfortunately, you know, it's like anything else. When you take your car to a mechanic, you listen to the mechanic. I think we should have been listening to the health experts and the science experts. You know what I'm saying? The political, the people, the politicians is not the experts. You know, so, I mean, I think that our guidelines should come from the experts, and it's just unfortunate that we have the type of leadership in this country that we do that's taking people on all kinds of levels. And let me just close this, because since I'm talking about Donald Trump, that's why I say, you know, what pissed me off more than anything else is that I don't care, you know, about the majority of Republicans, the senators being Republicans. It should be a process. When they see that man is unfit to be president, then he could be thrown out of office. I don't care the majority of the party. This is just totally ridiculous to watch a man take the country straight down the path of destruction and death, and there's nothing that we can do as a nation. That don't make no sense to me.
No, it right. don't, but you know, power concedes only to power, and unfortunately, this man, I don't know what he's done, but I do know one thing. What I've witnessed is that even during the, before he became president, he had made quite a few enemies in the Republican Party. Then all of a sudden, when the people wanted him to be the president, those who was in opposition to him, those senators, all of a sudden he would take them into the office. And every time he took somebody and had a private conversation with them, they come out being Donald Trump friends. And not only Republicans, I've seen Democrats going to the office with them as well. We have a lot of celebrities went into office with him, and they all come out singing his praises as well. So from I'm old school type of guy. I come from, you know, from the rough side of the mountain. I come from the street, as they some might say. And the only thing I can come out, you can go in one way, you come out another way, is that you've been told or you've been warned or you've been threatened that if you don't see it my way or the way I see it, then I can bring some havoc down on you. And
that's right.
But again, like I say, fear is a powerful thing as well.
But
and let me finish this thought. And even though now, like I say, just like those people who in this pandemic walk around with no mask and carry like they say because they may not fear this pandemic, and they may not be considerate of those around them. But at the same time, you know, people have choices to make. And when you got somebody like the president that we have, and it's obvious based on people who have been tracking him that he'll go one way today and the next day he'll go another way. He'll even go as far as saying stupid stuff like injecting household cleaners and stuff into your. I mean, you know, stuff like that. You know, I hate to say this, but it's the fact. If Obama did something like that or said something like that, they would have hung him up by the house, you know. But this man can say and do and have done just about everything you're not supposed to do in the presidential office and have gotten away with it. And so he's talking about new norms, and I hope and pray this is not true, but this new norm is just what it's going to be like. We in some serious problems. You know, go ahead,
yes,
Bill.
We are.
No, but I'm saying you can't even put Obama in that, you know, because that never would have happened. But then I'm going to just say is I'm going to shut down. I'm simply saying this, man. You know, look, these people go around the world and take leaders out, you know, who they don't like or they want to change the regime. I don't care who Donald Trump is. I'm saying there's enough powerful people in this country. They got money. There is something that we don't see on the bottom, or the citizens don't see why they want that man in office. If they want that man out of office, believe me, they can take that fool out, man.
Mm-hmm. Brother Hector, you're back on?
I'm back, sir. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead. You know.
Yeah, this is Andrew Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker. Everybody, welcome who's listening live on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We're talking about a discussion that needs to be talked about today. Appreciate everybody's feedback on what their opinion might be concerning this, the virus, our president. And the big question is it too soon? You know, that's what's on everybody's mind right now. I was listening to a couple of comments that were being made. Right now we're in a situation, according to Governor Hogan, he has a few phases he wants to implement and bring into action, which he already started in phase one. And, you know, opening up barbershops, nail salons, and things of that sort. I think the big question is, being 2 months into this pandemic, do we agree to open up the economy, or do we believe that it's too soon to open up the economy? That's the big question.
Let me ask you this then, and I heard a lot of people chiming on this. Those type of businesses that the president and quite a few of these governors are suggesting that we reopen. To me, I don't know. I don't want to be a theory.
I think me and you are on the same page.
Well, but these type of business seem like more black people will frequent more than any other people will. You know, and. And that's suspect to me right there.
So,
you know, beauty salons, barbershops, and things that, you know, the only type of business we pretty much got left in our neighborhood pretty much. And they suggested we go out there. As for me, it's like being a test monkey or test something, whatever you want to call it, and to go out there and see if we can bring it back. If it comes back, then we'll stop it, then we'll shut it down again. But I want to bring somebody else in there because all this leads in together. Because Bill just mentioned about something, you know, they put this man in, they can take this man out of office. One way of doing that is voting. And, you know, we got elections upcoming now. And we have Sister Fran Allen on the call with us today. And she's been very political, active most of her adult life. And she got a few comments. I know she had a few comments about some of the things that we already talking about. Go ahead, friend, you on.
So you're going to throw me out there, Dave, but I got something for you.
Oh, you
were going
to come out anyway. You know you was coming out.
I got something for you today.
Mm-hmm.
45? Mm-hmm. Y'all keep saying you just don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. But you all know what it is. This
all right.
man is a connection. He is a avenue of access to wealth. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, you know the man doesn't have the truth in him, but he will, when you talked about those meetings, David, where people go in one way and they come out another way, it's because they go in not having access and they come out having access. They are not going to throw this man out if he has given them a clear and clean shot to make some money, and that's what he does. He gives people a clear and clean shot to make some money. Now, if they don't care how they make their money, they get in bed with Donald Trump. If they care about how they make their money and they have some principles and they have a little integrity about themselves, then they come out and they may say they're gonna do, but then you have people like Dr. Fauci who, yeah, it is what it is. He's on the team, but he still has some integrity with respect to the information that he passes along because his reputation is tied to it directly. But people go in the office without a clear idea of what they're going to do to support this guy. And when he gives them a picture of the access that they can gain to whatever it is that they're trying to achieve by coming on board with him, they sell out. They make a choice. It's them or their constituents. Well, they're not trying to represent their constituents. They're trying to line their own pockets. I was in that political arena for a long time. I know what happened. I know this is part of the reason why I stayed in the district and stayed in Baltimore, because I already knew that I could not do the passive-aggressive dance well enough to survive in D.C. I speak my mind too much. Blue is blue, black is black, right is right, wrong is wrong, and if you're going to talk to me, you're going to have to listen to it. So I didn't spend a lot of time in D.C. for that particular reason, but doesn't mean that I don't know what was happening. Look, as it relates to whether or not we're opening up these states too soon, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't tell me that they have enough data to tell me what's going to happen in the next 2 days, let alone the next 2 weeks or next 2 months or even the next 2 years. They do not know. This is not a situation that they have had so much experience with that they can predict going to happen. They cannot.
Exactly.
What they will do, though, is send out a test group. They're going to
put people's lives on the line.
They're going to do a test group. You know, like the president said, take the medicine. What do you have to lose? It's only your life. It's only your life.
Sounds like a Campbell. You're right, friend.
You know, but that's what he said. Now, he will probably say, I didn't say that, but you did. Just like when he said, well, can't we, you know, let's try injecting some disinfectant. And then he came back and said, I was being sarcastic. I just wanted to know if you were going to write something, what you were going to write. Ridiculous, man. You can't tell people that you know listen to you, whether they should or not, to go inject some disinfectant so it can clean your body out and you can get rid of the virus and not expect people to do that and die. Because that's what they do. They follow him blindly, and then they find themselves in situations where they cannot recover from. That's where our economy is, and that's where, unfortunately, many people's lives have been lost because of this man's inaction or ignorance. Either he didn't do what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it because he was too busy trying to call the Democrats out for making him look bad, as if he needed some help.
Okay.
But that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother show. All right. Back to the real deal. It is too soon. And one second. the businesses that they are opening, David, are primarily located in communities of color where there are folks that are poor or there are people that lack resources or what have you. But they open up these businesses because, you know, we're a vain people. Good, bad, or indifferent, right or wrong. We're a vain people, you know. And look, let me tell you, I ain't had my nails done in 3 months either. And guess what? I ain't going to get my nails done. I'm going to do my nails. You know why? Because I want to live, okay? I'm not going to get my hair done because I want to live. You can't be 6 feet from me and do my hair. You can't be 6 feet from me and paint my toenails. Come on, y'all. Seriously? It's a choice. Do you want to live? Do it yourself. If you don't care if you live, go to the salon. But you won't see me there.
But there are some people out there who might not know how to do that, friend.
Yeah, well, you know
they
what?
Might not.
I
you know, they got these services open for a reason. Who knows?
I did not grow up knowing how to do my hair. I learned how to do my hair because I was broke. And I couldn't afford to pay somebody else to do it. I learned how to do it. Now, I have money. I can go to the salon. But if I go to the salon now, I might not leave out the same way I came in. Yeah, I'm not taking that chance. I want to live.
Well,
I'm gonna do
that
it myself.
Might be true.
Figure it out.
Figure it out, huh? YouTube University.
Yes.
We're getting a lot of feedback on Facebook here concerning the topic of discussion. We have LaShawn Evers from Baltimore, and she says, personally, I think it's too soon to open up. You know, many people are dying from the virus. I don't know why. Trump is so in a hurry to open the salons and barbershops. Well, you know, there's a lot of questions to that. People say, hey, we need to get this economy up and open. You know, there's a phase that has to be processed and looked at and checked. But I agree with you. I personally agree with you. Why are we opening up so early? We have another young lady, Ayanna Jackson from Baltimore. Jackson. She says their employers with letters are saying that their personal hygiene maintenance is required for their job. Also, should be the person that got the service contact or contract the virus, they are required to notify the barbershops or their salon employees. So what do you guys think about that?
I think that's ridiculous. Stop. I'm going to jump right on that because this is the deal. Silent carriers. Silent carriers are people who do not know they have the virus. If they don't know they have it, how are they supposed to tell you? How are they supposed to tell anybody if they don't know that they have contracted it and that they are spreading it without having any symptoms or any issues?
She said they're required to have a letter, even if they had contracted the virus, that they're supposed to have letters with them. Other than that, as far as essential, you're supposed to have a letter that you're essential. So what is your tip?
Well, if you don't know you have it, okay. Wow. If you don't know you have any money in the bank, do you go to the bank to get money? No, of course you don't, because you don't think you have any in there. This is the same thing. Why would anybody have a letter about a virus that they don't even know they have?
But you know, even on top of that, regardless, though, you know, like I say, look at the economics of it. Based on what they just said, you got one person coming in at one appointment, one time. And then after this person leaves, the other person can come in and this, that. Now, like, first of all, like Fred said, they got to touch it. They got to go through all of these different changes. And like I say, now, who in the world, come on now, I'm talking now, let me just talk about black folks for a minute. Now, who in the world going to go get themselves a letter when they want to get their, how they say, hair did? And if they want to go, who going to go through all them changes? First of all, like you say, they don't know, even if they did have it, they're not going to go through all them changes if they want to get their hair done. And they're going to come in there and, like you say, unbeknownst to them, affect the caregiver. And then everybody from that hour on going to come through there, going potential infectees that's going to go home to their family and everybody else and start a new pandemic in that particular area. Just because, like I say, just because of that 1 hour or 2 hours, whatever it takes to do that. And like I said, it don't work out anyway. Now, on the other end, I understand economics. You know, people don't know where the money's going to come from or anything like that. But like I said, you have to weigh the difference. You put your life on the line. And then again, how much money does it take for you to take that risk? I mean, and not only that, why should the person who owns the beauty salon have to go out there, you know, have to go out there to survive when they made all of those promises that we're going to take care of you, we're going to do this, we're going to send you out these checks, we're going to do this, we're going to make sure that you're taken care of, you and your employer, they can stay home as long as you keep them employed and all of this. And then when the time for the money to start floating around, it goes to big businesses. Like Fran said, went to the boys, and you know, those. I mean, then the little man on the barbershop owners and everything, they didn't get a penny, and then they can't even go to the bank. They can't even go to the bank. Some banks right now are telling them you can't even apply here no more. We backlog so deeply, we ain't even gonna let you in the door to even put in the application for.
Right, and it doesn't matter whether you're a customer, an existing customer at the bank or not. If you haven't put in your application for the loan, they don't care that you have your little $3,000 in there and you get your little direct deposit money in there and then you've been at the bank and you've been a customer for 34 years. They don't care about any of that. You're not coming in there to put in the application because they cut it off, and the rest of the stuff is not gonna buy you any kind of favor. That's problematic. That's problematic. If you've been putting your money in a bank for 30 years, and then when it's time for you to come to the bank because you need some help, now they done made money off of your money for 30 years. If they won't at least let you put in the application so they can tell you no like everybody else, there's a problem. I have a problem with that. And I have just recently moved money from one institution to another institution because I was with them for a long time, and they wouldn't return my phone call. I kept calling and calling and calling. I said, well, let me see if this will get their attention. And I finally got to a person and told them, I'm going to move my money. What do you mean? I'm moving my money. You don't want to answer me? You don't want to respond to me? Let me respond to you. I'm moving my money. Now they're trying to keep me because they had me for a long time, and they know that direct deposit comes every month, and they use it, and they're making their money off my money. All of a sudden, I'm getting some attention. But why do I have to threaten to move my $32 every month? You know, I'm not going to tell you how much money I get, but I get enough for them to pay attention to me now. You got to do the same thing. If you let these people run over you, they're going to run over you. Look, I want to get back to not just the businesses, but I do have a thing to say about the 21215 in Baltimore. They're saying that the 21215 has the greatest number of people infected in the state of Maryland. That's the hottest zip code. But it's the hottest zip code because they have one facility, Future Care Lockhearn, one facility that had 170 positive tests for the virus. All of those people are not 21215. 40 of those people are employees, some of whom do not live in the 21215, okay? And other people who came to visit folks at Future Care Lockhearn are people who brought the virus in and gave it to the residents, but then left out with the virus. And guess what they did? They went to Walmart, Target, Home Depot, the dollar store, Giant, Wise. They went to all these different places, and guess what they did? They left some of the virus in there, too. They left a little to remember you by in all of those places, too. So it's not just the 21215. It's not just the 21215. Don't let them tell you that nonsense because it's not just that one zip code. And also, they keep saying that the highest risk age group is 65+, but I beg to differ. I think it's 55 and lower because the people that are 65 and older, they're not going out here chancing. They already know that they don't have the 17 minutes left in the game. They're not going to go give their 17 minutes to some fool to get their hair done. Come on now. It's the younger people who believe that they are invincible. They're out there, well, you know, it's the older people getting sick. We ain't getting sick. So you know what they do? They go out there and they get the chicken box or they get whatever they get. They go and they do whatever they do. But they run across each other's paths and they're silent carriers and they're spreading this virus. They don't know that they are. It is not their intention to do so, but, you know, you don't know what you don't know, so you do dumb things when you don't know stuff.
That's true.
Oh, look. Also, let me jump on this real quick. Also, in Maryland, they, I think it was Montgomery County, I believe it was, to have even a greater risk, I mean, a total of people with this virus. But you know who they are? They are Jewish people and everybody. Mm-hmm. But see, they don't call them out because you know why these Jewish people ain't going to have it. They dare not. You know, they because this is what they call a black community. So now, you see, I'm going to tell you how powerful media is. I keep saying this, how powerful what we're on right now is a powerful thing. Now they're taking this pandemic in this country and trying to turn this thing around, make it like it's a black issue.
Right.
The black people is the carriers of this thing. And so that's another reason to keep us away from them. And everything else. You know, you got to read between these lines of how these folks work. And like you say, propaganda is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool. And you know, you could, like I say, from the president and politicians and governors and everything else, you don't, you know, a lot of people, I'm going to just use me as an example. I publish a newspaper. And I could pick even one of y'all, and put it in the paper and say, I heard through a reliable source that you was a mass murderer. And people, some of the people that know you dearly would suspect you. Some people have been around you all your life, but I thought something was wrong with that guy. You know, just because I said I heard, you know, and people will believe it. People will take their children, stay away from him. Keep away from him. You know, that's how powerful media is. And so when you got somebody that sit high like the President of the United States say these things, and then when you got media saying all over Baltimore, 212 is this, that, and this, that, Jewish people, Korean, everybody else going to have this thing in their minds that black people are carrying this thing. They the biggest ones, and this, that, and this, that. So they give them another reason to separate from us and everything else. So, you know, we have to learn, like I said, we have to be wise. Like Fran say, old elder people not going to risk their lives. But, you know, those who are younger, like I say, they are the most ones sitting up in those hospitals right now and stuff like that.
Yes, they are.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Has anybody ever looked at the guidelines considering the barbershops, the salons? Have we really looked at the guidelines? Is it just open to only essential personnel only? I think the guidelines, you know, we have Miss Ayanna Daugherty Jackson. I was clarifying her statement. She doesn't agree with the Maryland government or the governor, but however, she says, let me clarify, the barbershop salons are open by appointment only to employees who have a letter from their employer saying that the proper personal hygiene is required for their job. The barbershops and salons keep a copy of the letter. Then should the client contract the COVID-19, they are required to notify their stylist. So I think it's noted that, you know, what are the guidelines under the governor is trying to present? Go ahead, sir.
No, what you just said is it. Them are the guidelines, what you just said.
Right. So with that, with saying that, that's not open to just everybody, even bearing it down to essential. I mean, you know, you have to have some type of, I believe, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, providing a service where you properly groomed. So that even cuts down half of the essential employees. I mean, I could be mistaken. Maybe somebody could clarify it.
Well, that's why you have some barbers and beauticians to come on the news and say they're not going to open up, even if they could, because it's not worth it. I mean, you're going to open up for pennies when you've been making dollars. I mean, you know, you may have 20 or 30 people come in, so now you're waiting for one or two persons to come into your barbershop.
Wait a minute. Since we're in a pandemic, who are these specific people that had to be so well groomed? Where are they going to be well groomed at?
That's true, because most of the restaurants that are open to the public are closed. I mean,
where are they going to be groomed at? Office? I mean, who just had to be so well groomed that they had to look like that in this pandemic stage? That's why I want to know who these folks are.
I just want to think the barbershops and the salons are going to open their doors by appointment only, and they do two heads a day, and they're spending more money to keep the lights on.
Exactly.
They're spending more money to be able to operate their equipment. They're spending more money trying to keep up with their product to do two heads a day, three heads a day. I mean, they're losing money at that rate. They're losing money. So why they're better off keeping their doors closed and letting the government put some money in their pockets.
Which is not
happening. I went out there yesterday and observing different people. People are – the people who are cutting hairs, and I'm not mentioning anybody's names – they're charging a considerable amount of money, and I believe rightfully so, considering the fact that, you know, they can't fully open up their business. They are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who are charging $30 for a cut, up to
$40.
Mm-hmm. So, some of these businesses, some of these businesses are
going
to open.
To go where and to whom they. I want to know who these people are. You know,
so considering the fact that.
It is a fact that no doubt in our minds that haircuts, beauticians, nail salons, not nail salons, but the individuals who are doing pedicures and manicures are still working at a certain level. They've been coming to people's houses. They've been vetted by their own personal doctors and all that sort of stuff. Believe me, there are people who have enough money right now to have their beauticians and everything else brought to them. They don't have to go to a salon. So why are the salons and stuff being open? All of you guys are on point. We may be the test kitchen, but more important is that even if those businesses don't open, they're still not getting any money. That's the problem, okay? Most of those folks are not getting any of that stimulus money. So back to you guys.
And on top of that same note, because they don't get any money, that disqualify them from now on to get money.
Right.
if they have to open up for one or two people. And now they are central now. So, you know, so that don't make sense. He's all the way around. But then again, what does make sense when it comes down to this pandemic? You know, a lot of things, it just don't make sense at all. Like I say, from the leadership all the way down. But like I said, but one thing God gave each and every person is common sense. And if we don't use that, ladies and gentlemen, like I say, you know, you can put your own life on the line. But like I say, it's not worth it from my perspective to put my life, my family life, my community life in jeopardy just so someone think that they can test us or somebody think that they can restart this economy while we're in the midst of a pandemic. But like I said, but you won't see certain other businesses open. I bet you they won't open them up. You know, in certain communities, they will not allow that. You know, because we are so, because black people that thinks that we don't have any power, so they can throw and do anything they want to us when they want to do to us. And then turn around, we become the victims. And not only, just like this pandemic, now we are not only the victim of it, but we the blame of it at the same time. And so, you know, you can't have it both ways, but in their world, that's the way it works. You get it both ways.
It's kind of interesting how they targeted the black community. And when you look at the black community and, you know, you go and check them out, it all goes down to, they might have some pre-existing conditions, but it all goes back to what we consume, what we eat. Why are we so focused on a particular race? I mean, at the end of the day, we got to take care of ourselves. Obviously, when you look at the statistics, it's what they consume, it's what they ate, because we had high blood pressure, so the next generation has to. No, we got to break the cycle.
I don't know that it's so simple just to break the cycle. So let me use my own family as an example. My mother and my father drank every day, smoked a pack of cigarettes each every day. Everything they ate was fried. They put Kool-Aid in the sugar. They put coffee in the sugar. They ate salt on everything. Watermelon, potatoes, corn, green beans, salt. So diabetes runs very deep in my family. High blood pressure runs very deep in my family. Everybody is overweight. I mean, ridiculously overweight. So here it is. Here I am, a generation removed from my parents. My parents had high blood pressure in their 30s. I didn't get my diagnosis until I was in my 50s. It took me 20 more years to get the diagnosis.
That's right.
Because I'm worried about my age, man. I'm beautiful. I am gorgeous. Beautifully and wonderfully made, and the Lord blesses me every day. There's a lot of people that didn't wake up this morning, and guess what? They was all younger than me. So I don't know what to tell you, but I eat my veggies and fruits.
All right.
I'm just saying this. My parents' lifestyle and the nutrition that they did or didn't get, because they ate a lot of pigs, you know, they really, really fatty fried everything in lard and all of that stuff. I don't do any of that. My choices are much more healthy choices. Until this pandemic, I was doing the gym 3 days a week, and I was actually exercising. I don't go to the gym to talk like some folks do. They go to the gym and they walk around the track and they talk more than they exercise. I exercise. I didn't talk to anybody. I go in there, do what I've got to do, and then come out half dead and go home. But at the end, I'm better for it because I'm stronger and I'm healthier. Okay? These are not things that my parents did. These are things that I do. I hope that my children will pay more attention to my lifestyle and have a better lifestyle than I had, particularly since my lifestyle was better than my parents. But it is a choice. It is a choice. You have to make healthier choices for yourself. You have to make more emotionally stable choices for yourself. You have to make stronger and more stable financial choices for yourself. Because if you're not protecting yourself, then you're a fool if you think somebody else is going to make you a priority over themselves. It's your job to take care of you. It's your job. And that means all these requirements that they are placing upon us, as they may be inconvenient, they may be a little problematic, but let me tell you what else is inconvenient and problematic. It's inconvenient for you to die, and it's problematic for your family to bury you when you don't have no insurance. So think about that while you're not washing your hands, while you're not standing 6 feet from people. And when people walk up on me in the store and they're too close, I'll let them know, excuse me, back that up, back it up, back it up. Because that's my job to protect me. They're not going to protect me. If they're coming up on me talking and they don't have no mask on, I'm like, don't spit on me. Like, would you? I'm not spitting on you. Yes, you are. You're speaking. When you speak, moisture comes out of your mouth. And when moisture comes out of your mouth, even though you cannot see it, it still gets on people and things. So put your mask on or shut up. Stop talking.
Let me say this, y'all. You know, we talk about, like I say, you know, we, like the National Black Unity News, we speak about, you know, we talk about issues. But, you know, one of the most important things, people know that we living in a problematic situation right now. But I always say, you know, when there's all type of problems going around, you know, there's always the flip side to it. There are some things that we can do to preserve our life or even to save our lives. And we, you know, those of us who are in the media, which we are all doing right now, is to project some ideas of how that we can save our lives. Because like I say, ain't nobody going to come back to save us but us. And so we have to share, if we have some wisdom and knowledge about how to do that. Now, we mentioned quite a few of those things because just in conversation. But back to you, friend, you were just speaking on diet, you know, backing it up, you know, protecting yourself. Because if you don't do it, nobody else will. You know, you have to protect yourself. That's law of the land, self-survival. Yeah. And, you know, and we have to be in, right now, we are in survival mode. And even when the thing shall pass, you know, we're going to be in a greater survival mode, because then we're going to have to learn how to build ourselves economically so that we can continue to eat and continue to be healthy. So this is the time, I think, where people have time, those of us who are not still trying to run around, where you have time to contemplate your next move. Bill mentioned it earlier, and so did Hector and Brother Satavi mentioned, prepare yourself. Yeah. He said, be packing this thing, yeah, may come around and hit us again. Go ahead, Brother Bill.
No, I just want to say this on two levels. I mean, when we're talking about the 21215 zip code, look, I don't know how they come up with their numbers. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, in terms of if people hadn't been tested, We don't know how many people in certain areas that may be infected that's not infected. I mean, you know, we don't have no way to tell. But then, and secondly, in terms of the reopening of the barbershops, now, personally, this is where we disagree. I mean, look, I don't think it's basically a test for black folks. I think basically it's white folks that's protesting because of Trump that's putting pressure on these states that's making some of these governors open up quicker than what they're prepared to open up. And just like when you're talking about Georgia, as you see, the governor and the mayor is at odds because the mayor said, no, we shouldn't open up. So it's an individual choice, just like everybody just saying with Fred and you and everybody else. You know, it's like putting your mask on. Then there's an individual choice for some people to open up their business. They don't have to open up. But I don't think that that's basically a test for black folks. You know what I'm saying? They got other ways. They want to just kill us. They got other ways. But I just think that this is because the white folks out there protesting all across this country, putting pressure on some of these governors, and they trying to push Trump's agenda. And that's what I think it is. Just like Trump's talking about opening up some schools. Well, I'm going to see how that's going to go, what states open up the schools again. So I don't think that the opening of the barbershops and the beauty shops is about black folks. I truly don't.
I agree with you. The reason why I say that is because across the board, they're looking for that curb in this virus to actually make a shift downward. So I think the big question is that everybody's really focusing on, and that we all can agree, are we opening up a little too early? I think that's just the main thing. I think we're going through phases. When you look at Governor Larry Hogan, he provided more detail last Thursday, on the state's economy recovery plan and what the business owners can expect as they transition from, you know, back to work once this outbreak kind of eases. Hogan said in a live interview that he hopes to reopen the economy in phases. So classifying businesses as high, medium, and low risk, making decisions based on factors specific to each space. So we know that there's a guideline that we have to follow. We all know about staying 6 feet away, continuing the CDC's protocols on proper hygiene. So he said the degree of physical distance in a business coped with how much touch is involved and the patrons for staff could contribute to the risk of those determinations. But the details do provide further insight into what will likely be a gradual approach or transition towards a normal life. But I think the thing is, Are we moving too fast? That's the question. Everybody who was listening, you can. I don't know if we got time to make a phone call, but the lines are open. If anybody's listening, the phone number is 605-313-4163. You can get the access code 659975 and pound. And you know, just kind of jumping on this conversation. I think that's the real answer where it lies in.
Well, of course we're opening too soon. Actually, we are, because we don't have any data that suggests that we have hit the plateau. We're still climbing, and as long as we're still climbing, we need to be inside.
I agree.
One of the problems I have in reference to the different businesses that are being opened, and I put a little thing in the chat box for all of you guys to see. The question is the golf course opening? And the reason that I ask that is because out of all the things that I see in reference to this pandemic and reopening in a phase, it should be things that should be reasonable. And even if you are a beautician, a tattoo artist, all of those things are up close and extremely personal. And I'm not saying that it's a black, white, green, orange, or any of that. What I am saying is that it's the wrong types of businesses to really kind of reopen. From my perspective, now, I don't care how much protective gear you try to put onto a tattoo artist. Believe me, I don't know if you can protect them that much, okay? And then on top of that, it's other things that really are suspect. When I say suspect, it's something as simple as a golf course. You know, I don't play golf. But I've seen it played before. And for those individuals who, where the real money is, they are dying to get back on the course. I've had about at least what my friend said, man, I can't wait. I'm dying to get back out there. But they won't even consider opening simply because
of
the nature of the
beast. Well, I do see
people
out there on the golf course as I go by.
Yeah, there are people out there.
And I do too, but in my neighborhood, they weren't open. So I don't know. But like I said, you know, go ahead.
Some of the courses are not open officially, but you can still access the grounds, and if you want to play golf, you can take your little golf, your clubs, and go over there with, you know, a couple guys and play golf. You don't get a cart to ride around in.
Yeah, you don't drive around. Right? I got you.
You want to play golf, there's nothing stopping them from going on the course and playing a game.
But you can't play basketball, though, can you?
No, but what I heard is this, man, is that they're getting ready to have some golf tournaments where they won't have citizens in the bleachers and that type of stuff. You know, and I heard today that I think May 1st, then they're going to open some of these basketball courts for the players to be able to go in and practice, but they won't be actually having games. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things happening. The only thing I'm saying is this, from my perspective, in terms of the National Black Unity News, is that we don't want to push conspiracies that we don't have factual information to. So, you know, once we start saying that, you know, we feel that, you know, the opening up barbershops and nail salons is a test ground for black folks, then I totally disagree with that. And I don't think that's the information that we should push as a newspaper.
Well, it isn't any worse than 45 telling you to inject some disinfectant. So let's be clear. Let's be clear. They are not going to tell you what their intention is anyway. You know, if it smells like a duck, it quacks, and it walks like a duck, yeah, it ain't a chicken.
But, you know, all people, like I said, we all have an opinions and a thoughts about this and a thoughts about that. And, you know, like I say, you will never get a group of people, not even black folks, in a room together to agree on everything.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you this, though. But like you say, when it walks like that and it talks like that and based on history, their history, our history, we have been tested. We have been used as guinea pigs in the past, syphilis and everything else, and sanctioned by the government. And so right now, even my brother, he's in the military, friend, you military, Bill military, but you remember the Vietnam War when they drafted our young men and women, you know, but they had no choice in the matter. They were drafted and went into it. But the majority of the black young men went in there. Most of them went into infantry, went straight on the lines and stuff. You know,
right.
Some of them escaped. Quite a few of them escaped. Got
I'm
special positions. But the majority of them young guys, they took them off the streets, ushered right to the front line. They did that in the Civil War. That wasn't nothing new. They did it in the Civil War too. You know, send us right away. You know, go out there. You know, because their lives are more precious than ours. You know, and so if something as serious as this pandemic, and before, like I say, because I do understand economics. I understand that it's extremely important because even, like I say, this thing that we're going through right now, the after effect could be even worse. I understand that too. It could be mass riots. It could be man against man. It could be self-survival mode. We don't know yet. Because right now on the news, they're talking about, I was saying last week, we were talking about how the farmers are dumping their crops and pouring out milk. Now on the news today, they're talking about poultry and everything else is being affected now because the workers and everything. And the food market, the meat market is going to go down. Or the price is going extremely high. And so, you know, so there's just warning signs, you know, shots that are being heard around the world. And then because the economy, for the first time in this history, government has to put out instead of taking it back in. Mm-hmm. And so that's a new territory for them. And those who are sitting up there now, people are making a fortune off of it. And I can understand why when the money was allocated, it went to the cronies, so to speak, first. And because they're in survival mode, too. You know, they used to having this coming in. They used to having all this stuff coming at them. But again, like I say, from based on history in this country, this is David Murphy speaking, not the newspaper. Based on that, our history in this country and what they have done, and in my estimation or guesstimation, I won't put nothing past them. Nothing. I'm serious, because especially when it comes to survival. Yeah. And
I think we can agree that the fact that we can agree that, okay, we're moving too fast, right, in this economy to be coming open. So the question is, what can we see, or what can we do? Or I think the right word I'm trying to say is, what will make us convinced? You know, what signs should we be looking for that, okay, hey, you know, we feel comfortable proceeding with the opening of the economy?
Now, who would make that type of decision? Like I said, if you're not, if you're not working in a position of tracking this virus,
that's an open dialogue for everybody. You know, yourself.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, so how can you, you know, sometimes in the system that we live in, you have to rely on your fellow man sometimes, because
Correct.
Just like I said, I'm not an electrician, so when I turn that light switch on, I expect it to come on, but when something goes wrong, I'm not going in there and try to fix it. I go get somebody who knows how to fix it, and then I can switch it back on and off again. But at the same time, you got people who work in the health industry. That's their thing. And when they say, you know, we are tracking this, and then the hospitals are sending in data and quotas and all this kind of stuff, and then everything starts going down, like they say, most people were saying, even the governor here in the state, if it was a 14-day straight drop, everything dropped. I mean, all phases have to be dropping at this time. Then it may be a good sign. That's the only, maybe just a good sign that you might want to start reopening things. Mm-hmm. But right now, the way things are, based on the professionals, the quota they get, hell no.
I agree.
That's my opinion, you know.
I agree with that.
I agree with y'all also. And we were supposed to cover the election, and we got, I guess, you know, really engrossed into this pandemic thing. But Fran, you had some stuff you wanted to share with our listening audience about the election coming up?
Well, there's one thing that really kind of stuck in my craw, and that is I filled out my ballot. I put it in my mailbox, you know, flipped the little thing up so that the mail carrier would see that there was mail to take out of the box. And that's what they're supposed to do, right? When they see something that's in the box and the little thing is up, they're supposed to take that. Well, for the last couple of days, I put my ballot out there a couple of days ago, and yesterday the mail carrier brought the mail, put the mail in there, but didn't take the ballot out. So when I checked the mail yesterday, the ballot was still out there, but the new mail had come. So I took the new mail out of the box, and I left the ballot in there for them to take again. And today, they did the same thing. They put the new mail in there and left the ballot in the mailbox. And I'm like, how in the heck am I supposed to trust this election process to people who don't do their jobs? Because they know, if I know that they're supposed to take the mail when they see it in the box, they know they're supposed to take the mail when they see it in the box. That's not new. That's not something that just happened or is just a process that they're just beginning right now because of the situation that we are in. It was like that always. So today I got dressed and I drove down to the main post office, and I took my ballot and I put it in the mailbox there, because you can't really get inside the building. All you can get to is the mailbox on the outside. So I put it in there, and it's early enough to get the right postmark on it. But how many other people are expecting that the mail carrier is going to pick it up and take it like they're supposed to, and then they don't? Look at all those ballots that are not going to get counted. That's a problem. So I wanted to shed some light on that. The problem is the mail carriers aren't picking up the ballots. The solution is take it to the post office yourself. Be responsible and accountable. Responsible to fill out the ballots and accountable to make sure that it gets counted. That's our job. And if we don't do that, we're going to keep getting more of the same, because nothing will change because our votes didn't get counted. It's a shame.
You know, speaking of voting, there's a lot of people going around saying that, you know, your vote don't count anyway. you know, some people, so I'm just saying what some people saying. I hear this kind of stuff, that you shouldn't vote because we've been voting all of this time since we've been here, most of the time we had the right to vote, and our condition haven't changed. They say, so why waste your vote? Why do you spend the time to do it? What do y'all say about that?
You know I'm going to jump on that. If you keep voting for the same person that has not done anything for you for the last 20 years, you, of course you're going to get what you've been getting, nothing, because they ain't been doing nothing. And you keep putting them back in the seat, and they keep taking the check, and they keep not doing the work. You got to do something different. If you really want a different result, you got to put somebody else in the seat and give them an opportunity to come with a different outcome. These people that have been in these seats for 20 years, and, you know, I'm a proponent for term limits, and I worked for a guy who was in there for 20-something years. But the difference between an elected official and a public servant is the services that their community receives. Okay? My boss was a workhorse. He was truly the epitome of a public servant. That was his whole intention, to do as much as he could for as many as he could, as often as he could, and to repeat. And his whole staff was that way. Now, if you don't put somebody in office like that, then you're just going to keep getting the same thing you get. They go to the, you know, the retreats, and you go to the bread, you know, the soup kitchen. Come on. You got to do something different to get something different done.
So what about this gentleman that they have? I'm going to tell you, that was a real plus. Well, the person that we have in office now at the highest office, the President of the United States, what do you say to our people when it comes to actually going out and vote? Anybody?
People should vote for several different reasons. Number one, there's a lot we can say about the political process. And just like Hillary won by 3 million votes for Trump in, but vote is only another tool that we have to use. You know, we're not looking for voting to be what's going to free us and set us free or get us to the level that we need to be. Voting is a process that we're using to try to see how much leverage that we can get from that process. And if we give up on that process, it's just throwing another tool away that's in your toolbox. That's it.
I want to comment on that real quick. In an organization that I belong to, Dr. Marlana Karinga, we talked about this, four areas of political power. The first is community organization. The next is alliances and coalitions. And then the electoral process. But if we take and put all our hopes in the ballot box, then what happens is, if that's the only area that we exercise our political muscle in, then it is a weakness, you know, with that, because we're not combining those other areas that need to be combined and be a part of the process. So, you know, it's very, very important that we do community organizations. We have alliances. You know, hey, I'll help you if you help me. You make alliances with, you know, with people that are part of the same alliances are made with people you have common agreements with. Coalitions are made with people that you have a temporary agreement with, but it's all part of the political process. So, you know, we need to make sure we know how to exercise those areas of the political spectrum.
That makes sense what you and Bill say, because it is a process, it's a tool that we have to use. And like I say, because even though you put somebody in, something like Fran say, you can put somebody in office, but you know, we have to have an agenda. If he's going to represent us, he has to represent our, that representative has to represent our agenda, because that's what he's supposed to be representing us.
That's right.
If we don't make him accountable, then what they going
to
do?
That's why it's so important to groom someone. See, we go at this with this shotgun approach. And every time a seat opens up that is worth filling, we go with the shotgun approach. Instead of finding one or two people that we groom over a period of time, show them what to do, make sure they understand why it's important to do, give them access to give them, make resources available to them, support them in the efforts that they make to provide resources for our community, all of that. But we don't do that. We just, everybody that can put their britches on and tie their shoes wants to run for the same office. And you know, if you split the vote 22 ways, you splinter it. And when you splinter the vote, it's so easy for anybody else to just slide right in if they can get just a small base of support that will push them over the finish line. We've got to do a better job of grooming these candidates to put people in these offices that really are going to do our bidding instead of just a bunch of people coming out of the woodwork thinking, well, I can do that. Well, I can do that. Well, yeah, you can, but do you do it to the satisfaction of the people that you actually represent? And I say over the last 20 years, the answer for most folks is probably no.
What you said, Fran, is so important because the splitting of the black vote, that's how O'Malley became mayor in Baltimore. The black
exactly.
vote was so divided up that he just slid right on in there.
Yep.
All right. So, go ahead, Mr. Murphy, you want to say something?
No, well, you know, you might think on voting, ladies and gentlemen, it's cut and dry. It's kind of simple, y'all. You know, it's one of the very few tools that you have, like everybody was talking about, in order to make our society a little bit better. But more importantly, it's one of the two most important things that we have as far as our input to our society, your vote. Now, I can't express that to somebody who don't care about it, but it's yours, you know, and if you don't exercise it, you lose. I don't care how you cut it. You let somebody else absolutely dictate on how your future may be simply because you didn't exercise the way you felt about what it is that you ever feel, what you're feeling about. And your vote is yours. Nobody has to tell you who to put it for, but most importantly, if you don't exercise it, and this is the biggest thing, if you don't exercise it, everybody loses.
That's true, because when you don't vote, it is a vote. It's a vote for the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important for you to voice your opinion and you take control of your vote and pick the one that you want and not let somebody else pick the one that you don't want, because that's what happens when you don't vote. And the national elections are not the only elections that are important. It's important for you to elect these judges that are putting our brothers away left and right, trying to get rid of these kids off the street. And so instead of giving them some rehab and trying to recover them, they're trying to get rid of them. And they lock them up for crazy amounts of time, and they just keep doing it over and over and over. And you know what? We keep voting those same judges into the seat because we never take the time to do the research to find out who these people are that we're actually voting for. We put them in there. We did it because we don't know who we're voting for. We're just checking off names just to say we filled the box.
Wow.
But then you check off the name, you fill the box, and then you understand that you're the one that elected the judge that put your son away. You better read that stuff. Do some research on them people. You don't even know what you're doing, but you're not doing us a favor by not knowing when you go. You've got plenty of time to figure it out. Plenty of time.
One of the most important votes that most people neglect to realize this, and I just found this out, is the sheriff. Well, I'm not talking about the president or the vice president or the congressman. The sheriff has more power than most of those folks that affect your lives in more ways than one. So I just want to throw those kind of things out there, friend. You're on point. It's not the big ones.
Yep.
It's local. It's local.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, y'all just said that, you know, it just goes to show you that even though we may fill up and go to the polls and stuff, but if we don't do our due diligence on the entire process, because like I said, even our local council people and everything, you know, that has a lot of impact on your immediate community,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you get and what you don't get, you know, and
yep.
And so, you know, we may need to have to do something, you know, what they call it, not just for voter reform, but, you know, we need to do some serious education from
right.
all levels of government because, like I say, all of them affect our lives. Every last one of those offices affect each and every one of us one way or
right.
the other.
Right.
And we need to start helping each other because I confess to this. You know, I don't know it all. Like I said, I know that because politics has never been on top on my agenda until we all know this. Most of us know this. Until this guy named Robert Clay told me one day, because you know I've always been in other aspects. You know, and I voted and stuff. But you know, but he the way he mentioned it to me, said, you know, politics even regulate the air you breathe.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and it does, because they regulate, you know, what goes up into the air and everything. So, you know, that's a powerful statement to me.
Yes,
and like I say, it for my children, based on what kind of school system they go into, you know, what type of recreation they have in the community, what kind of safety we have from the police departments and everything else, all of that relies on voting. And, you know, the food that we eat, you know, the drug administrations and all that comes down to voting and stuff like that. So we have to take this thing seriously, and maybe some of our future broadcasts, we need to really jump on this thing, because a lot of things we take for granted, taken for granted, and we wonder why we're in these type of conditions, especially in our own communities, why we have not, because we demand nothing, you know. But in any case, we have anything else but in clothing. Brother Hector, Brother Satai, anybody else on the other level, you want to share a few words before we close, this is the time to do so.
Okay. This is Andre Hector, radio personality, motivational speaker on the Andre Hector Show. In closing, I believe that we all should use good judgment. Take your time and take it slow to reopen anything, because we don't want to repeat. As simple as that, looking at the latest numbers in the corona, just in Maryland alone, the numbers are in and confirmed cases and been announced to be 13,684, an increase of 854 cases since the day before. Guys, let's just continue to take it slow, take our time, and we can do more studying about this, because not only our life is on the line, your life is on the line, our loved ones. So, you know, that's my take on it. Remember, the cause is greater than ourselves. It's about the bigger picture here. But in closing, I would say, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen a friend. Let us continue to be the sharpening tools for one another. Everybody have a great night.
All right, Mr. Satavi Jahi, how about you, sir?
Yes, sir. Just that everybody heed the call and make sure that you're doing what you should be doing. You know, whether you're totally aware or unaware, if you're within the listening, if your ears are within the listening radius of this show, make sure you replay and re-listen to some of the comments that were shared earlier by our different people on this podcast, so that you can make sure that you keep your family healthy, alive, and safe. Because the main goal right now is to make sure that when this pandemic is over, that it does not be one of the things that wipes us out, that we're able to rebound from this and says, hey, they tried coronavirus on us. That didn't kill us. They tried the Tuskegee experiment on us. That could kill some, but it didn't kill all of us. They tried a lot of different things on us when they had the whole crack epidemic that hit. You know, it was a tremendous situation that took place. And we want to make sure that we're able to survive this pandemic so that we can have some brighter days and some future tomorrows, and that our children can be able to see some better days. So that's, you know, that's my take on this. And, hey, just make sure you heed the call. As Minister Farrakhan said, heed the call.
All right. Sister Fran Allen, how about you?
Just a couple of things. One, when we're doing our research on these political types, don't base what you think or how you feel or if you're going to support them on what you hear them say, because they're going to say whatever they think is going to get your vote. You need to do some research and look at what they have done. What have they done to support some kids? What have they done to create some scholarships? Resources. What have they done to lower tuition? What have they done to help first-time home buyers get in a home? What have they done to help the elderly people get their medicine? What have they done to feed hungry folks? What have they done to house homeless people? What have they done? And if the answer is nothing, move to the next candidate. That's what's going to tell you the one that is really about being a servant or the one that's going to be an elected official just trying to get a check. Because at the end of the day, they're all people just like us, and they all need jobs just like we do, and maybe that's the way they see they can make their dollar. Don't let them make their dollar on your back if it's not helping your back have a better quality of life. Don't forget the election for the 7th District, the 7th Congressional District, is tomorrow. Your ballot must be in and postmarked by tomorrow. If you can't get it to the post office, you can take it to a polling place. You need to call the Board of Elections to find out where they are. And lastly, please be safe. Honor the requirements that we have to follow now so that you can survive. You know, inconvenience, there is no inconvenience like your family having to bury you with no money. That's inconvenient. So don't make them have to do that. Put your gloves on, put your mask on, spray your spray, wash your hands, whatever you got to do to survive, because we need you. We need you.
All right, Mr. Bill Gooden.
Hey, well, you know, first I'm going to say, you know, let's always remember that God is in charge. I mean, more than everything else, you know, let's pray. Let's try to stay safe. You know, let's try to prepare ourselves, you know, better. You know, those of us that's fortunate enough to have a couple dollars, let's keep some money on hand because we don't know what's going to happen. And last, I'm going to say this. When this thing is over, don't think that the world is going to be what we know it to be today. The world is changing. It's going to be a whole different type of situation, man. And you know what I mean? What people dreamed of 6 months ago and what people dreaming about today. So the world is changing before our eyes. So I'm just saying, so hey, you know, everybody needs to just be as clear as they can and try to look at everything because, you know, everything is moving real fast.
All right. Mr. Walter Murphy.
This is Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy of the National Black Unity News, and I happen to believe that there is always a silver lining around these dark, dark clouds. I'm very much of an optimist, and I do believe that we will survive this. Not all of us, but some of us. And the ones who do survive need to understand that there are things that we need to do to make sure that our community stays strong. You know, it's just like the laws, rules, regulations, and customs that we have. They're the things that we live by. And like somebody was saying earlier, you know, those are things that absolutely control the air that you breathe. And so one of the things that I'm a firm believer in is to go out and exercise that vote. No question about it. But at the same time, in order for you to vote, you got to stay healthy enough to go do so. So those are my requests for you guys. Number one, stay healthy. Number two, go out and exercise your right. Back to you, David.
All right, Mr. Vernon Street, I see that you're on the line. You care to share something, sir?
I don't have anything. Just listening to everybody, taking in what everybody was saying. Like I was saying, just do some research, you know, study the things that's concerning our community and just go forward with it and share it.
Thank you, Vernon.
All right. Thank you, sir. And this is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News, and we can be reached at 443-455-2373. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you because, you know, I know most of you personally, and I value your opinions. And everybody has an opinion, but, you know, and everybody has, well, most people have a mind, you know, but, you know, I just want you to be safe. Take, you know, use the wisdom that God give you. You know, this we are survival mode. This is not, like I say, this is not a drill. This is truly warfare. You know, this is, I mean, you know, I'm in your personal life. I ain't talking about going out picking up guns, shooting nobody. I'm talking about surviving. We fighting, like the Bible mentioned, you know, things are seen and unseen. You know, there's people in high places, and then there's wicked things all around us, you know, but then there's natural things, you know, that can come upon us. There's godly things that can come upon us as well. But like I say, in closing, we operate on three principles. There's God's laws, man's laws, and natural laws. And we have to operate in all three of them.
That's right.
And I choose to use God's laws as my number one law because, you know, without God, you know, and with God, all things are possible, and I believe there's a cleansing going on, and you know it's time because, like I say, things are changing. Bill said it best. It's changing. We are changing because people, for the first time in their lives, had to sit down and stand still, mm-hmm. had to contemplate where they're going to be at tomorrow, what they're going to have if they're going to be at tomorrow. And so, you know, so with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourself, be safe, make wise choices, because we do still have that. We have a choice to make. Choose wisely. Thank you, and good night.
All right, good night, everybody.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Miss Fran, where those Mama Biscuits at?
Oh, man. They're right here.
Mama Biscuits. Ah, boy, say something for the brethren.
Right.
Boy, extra right. Butter and jelly.
Yeah, when we're able to hook up and get together.
Yes, ma'am.
All
this
right.
Session is no longer being recorded.
No, I have to cut that out.
Hey, mind your business, Mr. Murphy.
Okay. Hey, I like biscuits too.
I'm
going to have to say biscuits for everybody, but
yeah.
I ain't trying to open up no restaurant
you
now.
Say
no.
You said dinner. You said Mr. Murphy, everybody, her house for dinner.
See,
I don't know. You've been talking to Sam on that.
You're going to get in trouble, Ari.
Look,
good night, gentlemen.
Hey, she ain't going for that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, guys. Take it easy.
All right.
Goodbye.